See, you know trebuchet memes?
Yeah.
The whole premise annoys me. Because trebuchet is a type of catapult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a superior type of catapult, evidently.
But they're a type of catapult. They say, oh, catapults are bad. Trebuchets, if you Google define trebuchet, it says a type of catapult that uses a counterweight.
Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Poorly Informed. This is a podcast that we do on a semi-regular basis where we debate topics that we are interested in, or at least one of us is interested in, and it's forced the others to come along. This week we are talking about or discussing whether we are currently in the process of going through another industrial revolution. So yeah, I think that's about it. Sly, Theo, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're oversimplifying it when you say we need to clarify what industrial revolution is, because it's quite like English teachers and most people on the street would say, okay, an industrial revolution is, you know, some vague big industrial period in the 1800s and Britain became the world's number one power. It was actually several or two. There was one where you had massive improvements in weaving and weaving looms driven by the steam engine, and that drove a growth in economic growth. That drove economic growth, that drove progress, and then it faltered out, the world went into recession in the 40s, and then there was another one, which was fueled by America and Germany in the 1870s through to World War One, driven by oil and iron and steel. So I think we need to clarify, there have already been two massive industrial revolutions, which would make this the third. Some historians would argue this would be the fifth, if you factor in the first digital revolution.
Yeah, because there's lots of things sort of on the topic of that, the digital revolution. Are we still in the process of that? Because there's lots of things you have. So that's the original one that you're talking about, and then sort of up to World War One, that one. And then the discussion about a digital revolution is often thought of as the third industrial revolution. But are we still in that, or have we progressed to a different sort of level with AI and whatever?
I think neither. I think we've left the digital revolution. And I think we're sort of in a between revolution. Because there was a recession that ended the first great industrial revolution, and we, the world economy, entered recession after the 2007-2008 crash. And I think there's echoes of that here. I don't think we've seen any real progress since the recession, any massive innovation since, to indicate that we are entering or we are in a new recession. To indicate or suggest that we are in a new revolution, even.
So, yeah. Will, what do you think?
Well, first, may I ask a question? Because I've got a feeling that I will spend an hour arguing semantics with people if I don't get this cleared up. What do we mean when we say industrial revolution? Like, what are the characteristics of an industrial revolution?
Well, I would say that a revolution would be something that directly changes the way that we as a society function, or sort of do business and work on a day-to-day basis. So the first industrial revolution was obviously the change from sort of a mainly agriculture-based society to one that is more urban and focused in manufacturing, such as, you know, looms and sort of just the sewing industry and how that was changed. So I think it's just something that directly changes the way that we do manufacture things, because obviously as history goes along, there's going to be little improvements in every sort of different individual sector, but that's not a massive wholesale change across the board.
I'd just like to add that all the industrial revolutions so far have been accompanied by like a massive growth in the average wage, essentially, or like GDP per person, as well as like a huge increase in the standards of living. But that's the characteristic of all revolutions so far, so I would like to chuck that in.
I think you're talking in context, because if you look at a dictionary, there are several different definitions of revolution. The one most applicable is any fundamental change or reversal of conditions. It's backing up what Max has said, but it's actually far simpler. If what we're going through is a reversal or change of conditions, it fits that definition, and then we need to expand on that. And I think you're trying to break the definition so it fits your own argument.
100%, yeah.
So, from what you're saying about an increase in living standards and wages, I would argue that the industrial revolution actually causes the opposite. Because in the first industrial revolution in England, there were many examples where people would, like, you would have your workforce, say it would be 100 people. After the industrial revolution, your workforce was not 100 people, it was less. So those people have then been laid off and have to go and find other jobs, or can't find other jobs, which isn't an increase in living standards, that's a decrease in living standards.
No, what you're saying, so you're saying like, or sort of technological improvements have pushed people out of employment, right?
Yes. In I know what you're going to say, I'd just like to clarify, in the short run.
Hey, he's calming himself.
This, that in itself is like a hallmark and like a harbinger. Something that heralds a revolution happening. So it's like, I would say the most likely cause of the first revolution was the fact that loads of people unemployed from the agricultural industry because farming became more efficient. So all those people had jobs.
I don't know that it did. I think actually it opened up new sections of industry.
What I'm saying is unemployment means people have to find other jobs, which means they have to innovate in those new jobs to stay competitive. And that innovation is what causes an industrial revolution.
Do you think that the unemployment comes first and the industrial revolution becomes second?
Yeah, yes.
So from what you're saying is that after 2008, well, I'm not going to say it was mass unemployment, but unemployment definitely increased. So are you saying there's going to be an industrial revolution in the near future?
Potentially. However, the difference in this case and the earlier cases was people being forced out of like agricultural primary sector jobs into manufacturing jobs. But in terms of 2008, people are being forced out of service jobs and then are re-entering service jobs. The jobs they're re-entering aren't different to the ones they previously occupied. So there's no need to innovate and there's no need for change.
Would you say that's a bad sign if we're laying off workers and they're just going back to the same kinds of jobs? We're no longer progressing and pushing people into sort of quaternary and tertiary kind of sectors. If we just keep putting them back to where they are, does that indicate that a future industrial revolution, if one was to happen, would not necessarily be a long-term gain for some workers?
I think it's possible, it's more likely than not. I would say the fact that people are re-entering the same sector reduces massively the amount of innovation that the sector would experience and the country would experience as a whole, which obviously hurts the country or hurts the future of the industrial nature of a country.
Well, I think Peter's wrong, because I think the unemployment here is not cyclical. It's not people moving between jobs. It's structural. It's a skills mismatch. People who've been raised by their parents, by their fathers, to work in weaving, to work in the looms and factories, are now out of a job and they do not have any transferable skills. Because in late Georgian Britain, early Victorian Britain, you did not have a public education system, you did not have a re-education system. There was no way they could learn new skills, and therefore they were out of a job with no prospects for getting a new job in the future. So it was around the time when Adam Smith pioneered free market economics, but there were not the opportunities for people to move between jobs as easily as the free market should have given them in this time.
Theo, I'd just like to say we were talking about like 2008.
Damn it! Damn
but,
it!
But if what we're saying is about how are we in another industrial revolution, surely the same principles are applying.
And
so what he's saying about how that scenario is that it was changed from there being lots of jobs in one sector to there not being lots of jobs in one sector as a result of the industrial revolution.
And it's not an entirely different scenario either. See how I improvise. Because if you look at the way that education was cut by David Cameron and Michael Gove, and again, you've got another schooling system that's underfunded, underrun, and is not providing the education necessary for people to change jobs, for people to have the flexible skills. Instead, it's an emphasis on rote learning, which is something that robots excel at. Like, you're trying to out-robot a robot, which is not the point of... Well, that's not something humans can do. And so, in America, in many states in America, you've got underfunded school systems. All across the developed world, we bar a few exceptions, such as Finland and Singapore, you are churning out students who maybe excel in one job, but when automation intervenes, suddenly there's a skills mismatch and they're out of the job, out of the workforce, and they drop out of sight.
I'd have to agree with this, because the way we are educating people is very shoehorning people down a few small routes, and some of the routes are going to be automated eventually, and I think it's probably going to be sooner rather than later. For instance, 25% of manufacturing jobs are already at risk of automation by the late 2020s. Mm. And that's a significant proportion, because, I mean, even now, manufacturing has been obliterated by automation already. and the fact that it's going to get worse, but now it's not just going to be the people who are hammering the same part into the same hole every day, all day, for their entire lives. Now it's people who will be doing more complex jobs, who maybe put a very fiddly bit together and they had to do it slightly differently each time. Now it's those kind of jobs that can start to be taken by automation. It's not just the hammer in the hole kind of thing. It's now much more varied, and it means that no longer having general sort of general and variable skills will save workers. We're now entering an age where you need more than that to be able to hold on to.
I think you're right, Rob.
I'm more optimistic than you for once. I think, sure, people will lose their jobs to automation, much like farmers lost their jobs to like more efficient farming methods during the agricultural revolution.
Right.
But those farmers found jobs in a different sector, a sector that probably almost no, like that very few people worked in, and that sector exploded.
However,
what sector is this?
So the textile sector. Like, relatively few people worked in the textile sector before the industrial before the agricultural revolution. Then, because the agricultural revolution forced all the farmers out of a job, there were loads of people in the textile sector.
And then the industrial revolution forced them out of a job.
No. The industrial revolution lowered unemployment massively because there were big factories were being made to massively, like, to mass produce things. And I think that people who, like, manufacturing workers who are forced out of a job by automation, they will be able to find, or I hope they'll be able to find, or I hope an industry will appear that will take up masses and masses of jobs. Like, we may not know what it is. The industry may not exist yet, but I'm fairly confident an industry will arrive that will require a large workforce.
But they were moving into mass production jobs, as Will says, hammering the whole jobs. It was simple, again, it was a rote system of moving in the same parts again and again and again. It wasn't production line yet. That didn't come until the Ford about a century later, but it was very dull, repetitive labour, which was automated as soon as possible, about a century and a half later. So effectively what you're saying is people were moved into a job that, yes, okay, they were employed, but they were underemployed, and they were employed in an industry which today isn't viable.
So, yeah, cause what you're arguing is that, I think, because your argument is that they could move to a different sector. However, I think that relies on the fact that both of the sectors they were in are relatively unskilled. Like, the change from moving from being a farmer, from being someone building something on not a manufacturing line, but just moving from a farmer to a factory environment, is they're both relatively low-skilled jobs.
Like a farm labourer.
Yeah. Whereas now, all those simple, low-skilled jobs will be taken up by machinery. So you have all these people who may be in who may be in an industry under threat by automation, they will find it harder to move into a different industry because it's much harder, because the only jobs left will be high skilled ones that robots can't do.
You make a good point, and I hadn't considered that.
Even if everyone could do high skilled jobs, which is currently with our education system not possible,
are there enough high skilled jobs?
Well, yeah,
enough high skilled jobs would exist.
But could an economy sustain that many high skilled jobs?
Hopefully,
because if you think of an economy like a pyramid, where you have all the low skilled and then a few much fewer high skilled jobs, sort of often work above as management or as designing things for the low skilled workers to do. If you now have replace all of the bottom of the pyramid, you can't shift those upwards because there aren't enough places, and that you can't support that much.
No,
labor.
Because I'm going to disagree, because a feature of industrial revolution is that as the economy grows, it grows in such a manner that it is able to support population growth, and it is able to support the increased demands on living that come with it, the increased living standards, the increased demand for consumer goods. Because it overhauls the economy in such a way it is capable of self-sufficiency and responding to those demands itself. So I disagree. I think a revolution, if it simply burns out the economy, then it's not a revolution.
I mean, I think that depends on the system you're in. Because I think if we stay in our current system indefinitely, we're going to have problems. Because it won't be able to cope with a future situation where we have large numbers of people, not just unemployed, but unemployable. That we can't find them jobs, that they can't contribute anything meaningful. But, and of course the system would change, like we're not using the same system we're using back in the 1750s. Of course things change, but to now it's quite a drastic change, and there are very entrenched interests with large amounts of power that have vested interests in ensuring that the change goes a certain way and that the change benefits the few in many cases. And I think that in a period where you, with increasing wealth inequality, and especially with automation making it worse, it can be really rough for a society to go through that. And I think that can cause some major issues. In the end, I think the chances of it being turning out all right are quite high, but it's going to be a rough journey to get there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's understandable, but I think as the host, I probably should have kept a better lid on this. But we've moved away from the topic of are we currently in an industrial revolution to whether an industrial revolution is good for a society and what that will mean for our future. So if we kind of bring it back into whether people think we are actually in one at the moment. So the sort of the main topic that I was thinking on was AI, which we kind of touched on, and how AI, although right now is not at a stage when it can take away lots of, so let's finance, that's what, like, AI is not at a point now where it can take away finance jobs, but I think in a few years it will be able to, such as accounting, which although at this current moment it's complicated, you need a large number of people to do it, it costs firms enough money that investment into accounting software and accounting AI is a good investment for their company's future. So I think in a few years we will have an AI that can do that, and then you have an entire sector that is very big in the UK that has just been replaced like almost overnight by this software.
Interesting.
Just out of interest, Max, do you think that we are in an industrial revolution?
I don't think we are, I just think we're very close to it.
Does anyone here think we're in an industrial revolution?
I'm going to say yes, but we don't really know it yet. We're in a phase where...
I think that's probably the most common sense argument you could actually...
Yeah, I think because we are so... The rate of change at the moment is so ridiculously high that we're sort of so used to new things being discovered every year. I mean, 20 years ago, the internet was just starting to take off as this big thing. Now we all take it for granted. 30 years ago, the internet was just sort of being invented as a concept. And things change so quickly now. I think it's very easy to lose sight of how things have changed in sort of the total human experience. Because if you look at the graph of like GDP, it's essentially flat for most of human history and then just goes upwards pretty much. And we are currently at a point where it's so steep, it's so major, that I think we are in an industrial revolution, but we might just be for the rest of our existence because technology changes that quickly.
I think you make quite a convincing argument up until the last concept of a perpetual industrial revolution. I have one very powerful argument, I believe, that disproves the idea of industrial revolution, which is one of the main features of the industrial revolutions was a soaring increase in productivity. I mean, staggering. Humanity never seen anything like it. Output per hour per worker simply jumped, skyrocketed, whatever cliche you want to use to describe it. And that is what drove the world economy forwards. That is what drove Britain's empire. What do we have today? Flatlining productivity. Complete absence of productive growth. And so I think a revolution, industrial revolution's main aspect is that it boosts productivity. Otherwise, what's the point of it? All it's doing is making a current lifestyle more comfortable, not more productive. And so that defaults the whole point of economic growth.
Yeah, no, I agree with Theo, right? So he talks about productivity flatlining. Not just productivity is flatlined, but like a standard of living is we're the first generation that's going to have a lower standard of living than our parents.
Not quite.
Or so it's not
our parents. More of our parents believe than ever before that we are going to have a lower standard of living. It's not certain.
It's like with house prices being as high as they are, and wages aren't increasing as much as, like, basically everything's flatlined, not just productivity, which I would say, so we'll say, oh, we're in a permanent industrial revolution. Sure, maybe in terms of technology, but that technology isn't giving the benefits that technology used to give to the average person. It's not increasing their welfare compared to what it was.
I think that's because of the nature of the technology, because the nature of the technology is now so expensive to produce, because if you want to produce a wheel, you get a tree, you cut bits of the tree apart and yeah.
So, so then you employ people to cut the tree down and employ people to craft it. It's relative, isn't it?
Yes.
So you, when you mass produce technology, it's.
But you don't have to put a nation state's large amount of funding into producing large amounts of wheels.
Okay, they, fair
it, it's something that you can, I suppose, you can put compare modern sort of big projects that companies like Google and Amazon are doing, all these amazing AI things. While they require incredible amounts of research and incredible amounts of funding, they're often carried out by very few people. Because so few people have the expertise to be able to build something so incredibly complicated as, say, the DeepMind stuff that Google has been doing.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's a very few people, but it's also an incredible amount of money that has to be spent on it. And all this new technology is going into this, and it's not being spread around the average person because you can't.
The lots of the new technology is just going, is being made by people who understand it for people who understand it. Or can use it, like
yes, because
like a small number of people are making technology for a small number of people.
So still technically a so I suppose you could define that as a revolution.
Well, what I'd say is that's you could see that as a hallmark of the early stages of a revolution. Because
Right. Okay.
I think you'd see the rest of the revolution when that technology spread and was available to the general population, which may or may not happen.
Because,
it always has done. Because
it's expensive. So is that what you're saying? So
yes.
It's too expensive to become a... to revolutionise industry.
But only currently too expensive. So whether that changes in the future. But then the other issue with that is because the technology changes so quickly, the top-of-the-line sort of newest thing will always be too expensive. But because it every year there's something else new... it changes so rapidly that we'll all almost always be in this game of where the current new thing is just unattainable for anyone except three companies.
I'm not sure. I think over time things, because we are living in a world emphasis on globalisation, new technology almost immediately benefits from economies of scale, almost immediately benefits from trade creation. Mr. Jones, if you've had. Therefore, I think you're being slightly pessimistic. I think... The most important of those technologies that are being developed are becoming cheaper quickly, just as the early loom machines were, just as the early oil derricks were very expensive because people didn't understand them. And then people, you know, mass education programs, people were trained how to use them. They became cheaper. They worked out how to make them cheaper. So it always happens with new technologies.
The one thing I'd say to that is that when they invented the loom, they didn't immediately invent one that could do it three times better a year later, and then the next year they did the same thing, and then the next year, and then the next year. Whereas with things like AI, this is something that is happening, whereas every year we can often expect to see a sort of a 3 or 4 time improvement in some of the top of the range things.
So you're saying that the rate of human innovation is too high for there to be a one-step industrial revolution from low productivity to massive productivity. So you're saying everything's continually getting better so fast that we cannot just...
The population can't keep up.
Yeah, the population can't keep up, so it's just going to keep getting better.
Yes, so technology is going to keep getting better, but it may take a long time for that to sort of trickle down to the population, and it's going to be difficult to implement that because the time scale is so short and we have so little time to prepare.
Okay, I think
you're wrong.
Why do you think I'm wrong?
I'm not sure, I just don't agree with you.
That's quite harsh, Peter. I think my inherent concern with that is you mention AI a lot, but for a revolution to be a revolution, it has to be a fundamental change to the way we live. AI has not fundamentally changed the way we live. Social media has not fundamentally changed the way we live.
I say
the
social
internet
media.
Maybe, but that is now an old technology. It's not necessarily seen as a good thing these days. It's not, and as I, let me refer you back to my piece of evidence of productivity, the flatline productivity rate, the internet and computers, which are held as the next, you know, world-breaking, earth-shattering innovation, have not helped productivity. They're massive things, and everyone talks about them, and they have changed the way we interact, but they've not changed the way the industry and economy works. They've not improved productivity. They've not... I mean, like, as I'm talking, the other three guys are on their phones. But that is more out of habit rather than simply because they need to be on their phones. You guys could have gone to a library.
We're researching.
Research.
It has an entire week to do this, guys. I have got, like, really good reference books here. Yes,
the instant access to basically almost all of human knowledge has made... So
Matt, you don't use it for instant access to human knowledge. You use it for Instagram memes.
I was actually listening. I wasn't just on my phone.
From
what you were saying before about how computers didn't or haven't massively improved productivity, computers have been around since the 90s. Computers have been generally introduced into workplaces since that period, like slowly over time, but they're not a new thing. Like since 2008, our productivity has not, or at least in the UK, our productivity has not grown that much at all. We are really behind everyone else, and that is, as Will was saying earlier, an educational problem. But I don't think that I think you're wrong when you say computers didn't have a positive impact on productivity. Because just in general, Excel in general for the finances sector has just, it will have increased productivity. I don't have any statistics. I'm, you know, making this up as I go along. But I will, if I have a break, do some research. I bet you that between 1990 to 2008, there would have been not massive increase in productivity, no, but still a increase
in productivity.
Because
I've done the research. There's an increase, but not beyond normal. It's a gentle curve upwards, not an immediate straight line.
So you're just saying that computers haven't caused a revolution?
Like, if you look back in reference books written in the 80s, they always talk about computers. I mean, I'm not that dumb, lots of that. But you get the impression they see computers as this miracle thing that's going to revolutionise the way we work. Most of us have a job, right? I do have a job that means I work with computers. All it means is I go to work, and instead of filing notes on paper, I have to spend an hour and a half of my Thursday afternoon uploading them to a computer. It effectively just makes the job more tedious, and it means I have to do a job now, because instead of just leaving them in paper form, we have to upload them.
But say you were trying to use those files, instead of having to go to a file room, find the file, put it out, you can just go on your computer to click on the file and you've got it there, and in seconds rather than the minutes it may have taken to physically move.
And it has also provided you with a job.
Like creating
employment. But it's not made living conditions of work any happier. It's effectively because all I'm doing is staring at a screen. It effectively has a dulling effect on your work. It lowers your inhibitions because you're not actively engaged in what you're doing. And even now, social media, 7 years ago, Arab Spring, it was hailed as the great breakthrough of our time. Everyone's communicating with it. There are going to be colour revolutions all around the world. Now we just see it as a distraction, something to idle away our time. And procrastination is not a new thing. Procrastination was first recorded in 700 BC by a Greek poet. All that social media does now is provide another way for us to procrastinate. It doesn't seem to have any meaningful impact on the way the world conducts business. That's the end of my monologue. Thank you. I do speaking engagements.
With a thing about your job not being made necessarily easier or quicker by a computer, those were the service jobs that the sort of the lower level jobs wouldn't have necessarily been improved that much by a computer. However, when some guy at the top of the organisation you work for wants to quickly see how everything's going or quickly organise a load of files or check things quickly, that can now be done. And so I'd say it's more evidence of why the changes are skewed towards a small number of companies that will benefit much more than others. Because if you are the leading provider of, say, Google, searching the internet, by the very nature of the internet, you need a computer for it.
Yeah.
They benefit massively. Improvements to computers directly improve profit for them. It just makes their lives much easier. However, if you work for, say, a farm, you're seeing sort of improvements because you can plan things better and maybe you're getting better technology to use. However, a new computer coming out or new computer parts coming out don't suddenly double your productivity. So I'd say it's only some specific areas that productivity has exploded in because of computers, whereas others it wouldn't have as much of an impact. Which is why, so maybe if you look at the overall, how many people work in general jobs that will be impacted by computers that much.
Okay, I still feel that we're not simply, the whole productivity puzzle is simply enough of a reason why we're not in a revolution. I think as I've said, the impact of computers and the internet is overstated. So I can see your point that productivity in some areas is booming, but if it's not impacting a macro economy, if it's not impacting the wider economy, is it even a revolution?
Fair point.
So what I've been saying, or what I've been arguing poorly, I'd add, is that we are not yet in one, but there is one coming. And so my main sort of crutch on that is AI and the impact that will have in the future. So Theo, are you saying that you don't think there is going to be an industrial revolution?
I'm not sure, but I'm not convinced there will be, because everyone's hyping about AI as they've been doing for quite a long time now. Even in the 50s, people were talking about post-apocalyptic robots. Do you know what I mean? It's similar chapters of the same book. We've still not seen any massive breakthrough. We've still not seen that AI has completely woken up one morning and seen that AI has now completely shifted the way that doctors do their research. Okay, there's been no breakthrough, and so I think that lack of evidence, the fact that everything just seems to be around the corner, means I don't foresee a revolution beginning or taking or undergoing any sort of change anytime soon.
I think there is a revolution that's going to happen. I think it's not going to be AI and automation, it'll be the results of AI and automation taking away people's jobs. As I said earlier, I think the unemployment will force ingenuity and force inventiveness, which will be what causes a revolution. So we don't have AI is not the symptom. AI is gonna kickstart the thing that will start the revolution by taking away jobs.
So AI is the you rubbing your wounded hand in the ground, and then the disease that is the Industrial Revolution will happen later.
That's a neat little analogy, actually.
I'll admit, it was getting worse as I was going along. I'll say that.
I can see your logic, but I think you've all sort of brushed over the problem there.
You're way too optimistic.
Yeah.
People who lose their jobs. You're like, oh, they're just, you know, they're going to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. They're going to be, you know what, I'm going to invent the next big thing. And I don't think that's going to happen.
And you're saying, oh, yeah, no, it'll just sort of happen. AI will just sort of make it happen, which is what people have been saying for such a long time.
The thing is with AI is it's a really interesting one, because people have been saying it forever. But actually, if you use any social media, you're already being directly impacted by it. Because the way they show your feeds is no longer done chronologically most of the time, because now they can control it.
No.
That's usually done by a bot. It's the same with YouTube algorithms. They want you to click on the next video. They want to get watch time. So there's lots of little things like that which actually are AI, you just wouldn't notice. Now we have self-driving cars everywhere, which I would be very surprised if that didn't happen within 15, 20 years.
Okay.
Because the potential for economic benefit is massive. If you take haulage companies that move a lot of stuff around, if you can eliminate a driver, that is a massive part of your costs.
Yeah.
And also drivers have to sleep, drivers get tired. Drivers
have to stop every 4 hours.
Yeah, they can crash, all that kind of thing. And AI may well still crash, may well not be perfect, but it only needs to be better. As soon as it's better than a human driver, it will be used as soon as regulations allow for it. And I think it'll pick up momentum quicker and quicker and quicker. And I feel it won't be long after you see the first commercial autonomous vehicle before you see fleets of them everywhere. Mm. I think that's quite a small time span. It's just we need to get the regulations right first. Because the technology is almost already there. Like, a lot of it is in place already. It's not perfect yet, but it's very close to what it needs to be.
I think you're just repeating arguments that have been said for tens of years since the Second World War. I'm not sensing anything groundbreaking, sensing anything new here. And I think I'm just going to be pessimistic and say, no, I think you're being too naive. I think you've read too many subreddits on the issue. You're just clinging to this idea that AI will make good. And you're talking about the innovation that people will develop. Well, if we have a rote learning system, a rote education system, how do people have the flexibility and creativity to do that? It takes a very special type of person to go through the British education system, as we can testify, and still have good ideas.
I would say say, oh, the education system's bad, but you had like farm labourers who spearheaded in like ingenuity and innovation within the like first revolution.
I mean, it wasn't the farm workers who were making the mechanized looms and stuff.
No.
It was the farm workers like the Luddites who smashed them up.
No, but they were forcing the cottage industries, which forced innovation within the cottage industries, right? They had no education.
Yeah, but
we have at least an education system.
Yeah, but you didn't need an education. The whole economy wasn't dependent on people who could read and write. It was people like them who did have grit and who had grown up working and who had grown up seeing how their work was bad, seeing how their work was good and improving on it. Whereas now, we are required to have a high rate of literacy, we are required to have a high rate of maths and technical skills, which we are not being provided with.
That seems like, I feel like we can keep going on this topic, but I think this seems like a pretty good point to end. We've been going for almost an hour at this point. So I'm just gonna, we summarize everyone's points. If anyone has any final, you know, big argument that they want to destroy Peter with, then we can do that. Theo, what's a closing points?
I think we are not going to another industrial revolution, and I think there is no industrial revolution just around the corner.
I think we're probably in one and we don't really realise it yet, and we'll look back in 100 years' time and go, oh yeah, that was where everything started to happen. And I also don't think it's necessarily a good thing. So.
I think everything's going to be awesome in the future. Going to be living on like moon palaces with cool robot butlers, and the Industrial Revolution's going to happen any minute, and we'll all get millionaire jobs at Tesla. And we won't have
talking
to
about that, I'm not sure I want a millionaire job at Tesla.
I mean, I would take it.
I'd take it.
Just before Matt goes to the outro, if you want to get in touch, we are on Twitter, The Poorly Informed Podcast, at Podcast Poorly. We are on Facebook, The Poorly Informed Podcast, although Twitter's probably a better way to get in contact. We are, Gmail is poorlyinformeddiscussion@gmail.com, all lowercase. And we have a website, which is poorlyinformedpodcast.wordpress.com. You can get in contact with us any of these places, and we will respond. If you have feedback, ideas, suggestions, comments, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
So thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to arguing for about an hour next time, I suppose.
Industrial revolutions. Actually, I'm just going to take a moment to pour some water.
I'm glad you started talking. Also, just to let everyone know you're going to pour water, get everyone's attention. Drink your water, Theo. Enjoy it.